Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
There are over 550 million firearms in worldwide circulation. That's one firearm for every 12 people on the planet. The only question is, how do we arm the other 11?
I've tasted your borscht.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Greetings and welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 570. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. He loves the continuing adventures of Ghost Rider and Morbius Dunaway.
A baroom. Oh, hi. This week on Sack of Film, I like my way better. We lie to our wives about our lucrative day jobs and board our post-Cold War era transport plane full of possibly illegal firearms to deal and face off with the story of America where Forrest Gump left off. Life is like a box of AK-47s and AIDS. You never know what's going to kill you. But hey, children, what's that sound? Buffalo Springfield is playing now. Anywho, selling guns is like selling vacuum cleaners. You make calls, you pound the pavement, you visit warlords in Africa, you do the brown and try not to sleep with the warlord, juniors, cowboys, cheerleaders who haven't changed their uniforms in months. Gross! But not because of that, but because of one in four of Africa's cowboy cheerleaders have AIDS, according to this movie, which is about a family of fake Jews. So it could just be fake Jews. But the worst part about this whole analogy is that now I am not sure if I am supposed to acquire something from one of those Rambo movies that is either a gun or a vacuum cleaner for Warlord Jr. So I think I will just stall until one of us dies. Randy? Selling guns is like sex. Don't put your junk in the wrong hole or you might lose it.
Top form as usual. Nicely done. Also with us, Randy. He got hooked on cocaine really fast, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. It's me, Randy. One of the casters of Pod. And my name is Deluxe of Randy. I prefer it that way. Today, we're talking about the very important subject covered in my new book, How to Not Get Disowned from Your Immigrant Family. Wherever you're from, the threat of being disowned is always there, as you know. You're going to avoid being disowned by following my three easy rules. Number one, don't tell really big lies to your family. It's okay to tell them little lies. Obviously, everybody, right? I mean, it's okay. Even big lies, like, you know, big lies are okay, but really big lies. A really big lie like, we'll just change our name and fly the flag sideways. Those will always get you. Number two, you will get disowned if you let your little friends kill your little brother. So avoid that.
Yeah.
It won't be easy, as anyone with a brother knows, but you can do it. Tell him to stay in the truck. Why don't little brothers ever follow instructions?
Aww.
Number three, always use the best padlock that money can buy. Sorry, I call it lock of pad.
And lock of pad.
The price for the best lock of pad is about $3. No one could ever defeat a $3 lock of pad.
Is that your son's birthday?
Yeah.
Aww.
This warlord business was my favorite stuff. All right, moving on to finally, Brian, he keeps two counterfeit cowboy cheerleaders in his car as well, Ibbot.
I do. Unfortunately, they're the male cheerleaders that sit on the bottom to support the pyramid.
Dang it.
I'm Nicolas Cage. That isn't my real name. There are a few occasions in the 20th century where it's been an advantage to be a Coppola. By the way, I'm doing the Andy Samberg Nicolas Cage for those of you keeping score at home. Yeah. There have been a few occasions in the 20th century where it's been an advantage to be a Coppola, but I decided to name myself after a comic book character to make a name for myself. I'm an actor, but most of all, I'm a reactions dealer. I sell reactions to leftists, riotists, and movie fans alike, and I decided that if I was going to get into the reactions dealing business, I was going to aim high. Here's a good example of one of my best sellers. If I'm needing to indicate that I want a character to move along or pick up the pace, especially if I'm in a position of power, I'll do the clap and talk. Basically, it goes like this. I asked for a decaf shaken oat milk espresso with two pumps of hazelnut and no ice. Then there's an old standby. This one won't jam, break, or rust. It's the mellow sarcasm followed by mock acceptance, and it goes like this. Oh, I guess the reason I didn't get the free caramel drizzle on my foam was because your squeeze bottle was on the other side of the grinder. Cool, cool.
Nailed it.
Of all the reactions in the vast Nicolas Cage arsenal, nothing's been more profitable than the bestseller that's gotten into everyone's hands, whether it's Simon Helberg or Andy Samberg. It's when I show my own level of crazy by randomly shouting the last word of my sentence. It's a reaction all filmgoers love. It's so easy. A child can do it, and they do. It goes like this. If you can't get my order right, then I guess I'm going to have to take my business to Dunkin'.
the David Schwimmer, the full David Schwimmer.
Yeah, that's called David Schwimmer. Yes, exactly.
Oh, my Lord.
I do like the breakdown of the cage. That was fun.
That was great. Yes. My gosh, yeah. I didn't realize. Well, whatever. All of those were immediately familiar to me. But if you had asked me beforehand, what are his like three tells as an actor, I wouldn't have been able to say it. But you did it. You sussed it out.
I just kind of let a peek behind the curtain of workshopping an impersonation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I probably need to workshop that one a little bit further because it still sounds like Andy Samberg doing.
It's pretty good. I knew who you were attempting to be the entire time. So congratulations.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because I started with, I'm Nicolas Cage, which is how every great impersonation should start.
I always try to contextualize what I'm about to say. Let me contextualize that.
Always start.
I'm about to do Nicolas Cage.
I'm Bill Clinton.
And thank you for helping me now understand for the first time that Simon Helberg on Big Bang Theory is just 80% Ross, 20% Urkel.
Yeah.
Oh.
He kind of is.
Yeah.
But the dude does the best Nicolas Cage impersonation I've been able to find.
Oh, yeah, because he looks like it. He's got the right look to start.
He has the right look, but also he has the intonation. Yeah, it is. It's so much more of a visual impersonation than an audio one. There's a, I think it was Esquire. Another video I watched was Nicolas Cage answering Google questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
okay.
If you have not seen it, it's excellent. Basically, they do autofill on, you know, what is Nicolas Cage blank? And then he answers every question that comes up with Google's autofill.
Oh, interesting.
And if you listen to it without watching it, it's Nicolas Cage, but it's harder to get that visual. But then when you watch it, it's like, okay, so much of his stuff is visual that you kind of need the visual to do a really good impersonation.
Well, I'm going to play, I found this video. I'm just going to see it real quick, and then we'll talk about this movie. Yeah. But I want to hear Helberg's impression. So here we go.
Oh, well, we should do an impression. You have your choice. You can do Billy Baldwin, you can do Nicolas Cage, or you can do Robin Williams, or you can do mogul skiing from the Olympics.
Oh, this is a bad video. Hold on.
No, it's good.
Wow, you guys.
Yeah, which one of those you want to do?
Here we go. Well, I guess I can
make it easy on yourself. What do you want to do, Simon?
Do a little Nicolas Cage for
okay,
you.
Okay, Nicolas Cage. All right.
Well, Dave, we have to have a serious talk.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
It's really good. Yeah, he does. He does a great one.
Threw a little weird Texas thing in the beginning, but
yeah, we have to have. That's kind of a little bit of lean into the exaggeration of it, as opposed to just trying to sound just like him. Because
which I prefer. The famous Dana Carvey thing where he was always like, my impressions are terrible, but it's about leaning into these like one or two little key things and.
I love that these actors always come in pairs. So we have Simon Helberg and we have the bear, Jeremy Allen White. And they're like, they look so similar to me.
I don't know who that is. Who's that second guy?
He's the bear.
The bear. The guy from the bear.
Lip from Shameless, too.
Yeah, they look like they were separated at birth, those two.
Yeah. Right.
I have there's a lot of examples of that. We talked about it before where they just like, they seem to come, they come from different places entirely. Yeah, they're just like the same look.
Yeah. Like Dunaway and that voice that we always play. Oh, Jim Varney.
Yes.
Jim Varney and Dunaway were separated at birth. They have, hold on. I got to play
that. You'd be surprised how much he looks like my pop up. I mean, I have relatives that literally look like Jim Varney. I would not be surprised to find out we were related somewhere along the lines.
Oh, I wish I could find it.
Yeah.
Well, what does the person say?
Got a little Varney in you?
I got a little Varney in me.
What does character say that I, because that's how I have to search for it.
Vern, you mean?
No.
Talking to Vern?
Yeah, but you there's a certain line that he says.
That clip, is it thank you very much or something like that? Isn't it?
Crap. I can't find it because I think it just says.
Have a nice day. What is it?
Oh, here it is. Dunaway. No, that's Dunaway. That's not it. That's Faye Dunaway. Hold on.
Because you don't have it.
That's Faye. Also related, probably, I'm sure.
I was going to say, you've got to have a little Faye in you.
Right, got a little Faye in
you. Giant butthole.
No, that's not it. Hold on.
Wow.
I used to call.
He used to call me all the time on my phone, and I would record it because they were
weird-ass messages for Scott. It was fun. I haven't done those in a while.
All right. I can't find it, and it's bugging me. Oh, wait. Here it is.
You're safe with us.
That's so weird, dude. It
totally sounds like Dunaway.
So weird.
You're safe with us.
Anyway, the movie we watched is Lord of War, starring Nicolas Cage, Ethan Hawke, and Jared Leto. Now, here's the deal. I thought I'd seen this. I had not seen this. This is new to me. Now, I think I knew about it because at the time it reviewed really well critically, although I don't think audiences loved it. But the reviews were pretty strong.
I'm sure they were looking for a typical Nicolas Cage type of performance.
Oh, for sure.
They kind of got one. If you knew nothing about what I was about to show you and I skipped his name and I said, hey, I'm going to show you this movie that stars Ethan Hawke and Jared Leto and Ian Holm, you would go, oh, okay, those people know how to pick scripts.
Sure.
I think this will be, you know. I think it'll be like if you cut Nicolas Cage completely out, right?
Yeah.
Like what? So then the question becomes, what is Nicolas Cage?
Which was one of the questions that came up in that Esquire thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. there's.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, how is it that he transforms a film so much?
Well,
right.
Yeah.
But see, here's the thing, and I may be the only one who feels this way, and I'm totally fine being that. But I feel like. The Nicolas Cage's Yuri could have been played by a dozen other actors. We don't need the Nicolas Cage. Mm-hmm. We don't need Nicolas Cage in this. This could have been John Cusack. This could have been.
That's a good call, actually.
Aaron Eckhart. This could have been. Steve Carell. Like, there's so many other actors that I could see in this role.
Yeah.
And it's fine. I mean, I think Nicolas Cage is a great pick.
The Cage.
I think he's a great pick for this, but I don't think it had to be him.
Totally agree. It's funny. The other names you mentioned, every one of those popped and went, oh, yeah, totally. Oh, yeah, totally. Oh, yeah, totally. Like George Clooney. Totally. Like anybody.
George Clooney, another one. Yeah.
Could have been anybody. You're totally right.
Just
now, I think
somebody who can exude some charm.
Yeah. And I will say, though, with the choice they made, you know, there's these categories of Nick Cage movies. They're the ones where he feels like he's really phoning it in, or it's just sort of surface level, very cagey, whatever. And then you get your, you get this, and you get Moonlight. Right. You get Pig. You get Pig is what I was trying to say.
Wasn't there a Pig movie?
Pig movie about a pig. You get these like incredible one-off performances. This feels close to that to me. I think it's pretty good for him.
I think so too. This, you know, this for me is one of the best Nicolas Cage movies, and it isn't solely because of Nicolas Cage. I think it's a really good story. I mean, Dunaway and I talked in chat about it being intense and exhausting. It's not something I want to watch more than, you know, if I'm going to watch it multiple times, not more than once a decade.
I think the whole subject, and we've talked about this many times, please forgive me. We've gone over our favorite Nick Cage movies. We've gone over
every time we have a Nick Cage movie on film.
Yeah, we do it every time.
We've gone over what might be the best, and there's such, these are such different categories, right? Like our favorite, right? Like my favorite is Con Air. You can't call that objectively the best on that list, although that list doesn't really have any truly great movies. And that's what I'm kind of trying to get at, is what is it about Nicolas Cage that, like, can you call him a bad actor? Like someone who's this successful in a career, right? Can you call him a bad actor?
He is not a bad guy. No. I will say, Brian states he is not a bad actor.
Good.
I agree.
He's not a bad actor.
I even think it's stuff where
is the total list, when you're talking about like his best movies, why doesn't it ever contain something that, you know, like actual critics consider an actually good movie?
Well, I feel like Raising Arizona's got to be on the list of best. It's my favorite Nick Cage movie, but Con Air is really close.
I love Con Air.
But it's, he's got a, like a good comparison is Christopher Walken. He's got a very unique style of delivery that permeates in every role that he plays. And it just becomes a weird affectation of whatever character he's playing. Yeah. It weirdly doesn't take you out of the film. You're not watching it saying, oh, all right, well, I'm watching Nicolas Cage. You're watching Yuri Bugarov or whatever his name is. Or you're watching Escape from Jail or whatever.
Yeah.
And that character just happens to have a weird affectation that just happens to be Nicolas Cage's, just like Christopher Walken's.
Orlov, for
Nicolas Cage is like chocolate ice cream.
Orlov,
there you go.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage is like chocolate ice cream. Everybody agrees it's good. You could add some nuts and it'll be pretty good, but that's about it.
Mm. Yeah.
It's good. You can never say it's bad.
I think Nicolas Cage already has nuts.
Sure. He's got some nuts.
You know, you could add nuts. He's not always nuts, but generally nuts.
Yeah,
but, you know, that's about as far as it goes.
But that also feeds into what I like about his career, is that I feel like he's just sort of like, yeah, what, blah, because he'll take whatever, he'll do whatever, and he'll once in a while dip his foot into something really profound, and he'll go from that to Willy's Wonderland, and then he'll go back to something normal again.
To Drive Angry, or
by the way, 11. We've watched 11 movies before this one that starred Nick Cage,
and we still haven't seen Brandy, and we still haven't seen the one where he comes back from hell to kill people. Not Ghost Rider, but a whole different one where he comes back from hell.
And I want to make that point really stick. Starred Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage is not an also ran in his movies, and that's another little factor that I just can't get over. You know, like he doesn't want a nomination for best supporting actor for, you know, playing somebody who has 10 minutes of screen time and is very profound.
Yeah,
he doesn't want that.
You know, Kick-Ass is probably the only recent one. I mean, obviously, you can talk about Fast Times at Ridgemont High, where he didn't speak at all or anything like that.
Right.
But Kick-Ass, he's not a major character. He's, you know, absolutely kind of in the supporting cast. Mm-hmm.
It's great though. Great, memorable.
But a rare situation where he's not the the main character.
Yeah, I agree.
Moonstruck, was he?
I mean, it was ancillary, but
basically. I mean,
it was,
if anything, best a supporting actor, but
sure. But it wasn't a small part by any stretch. I feel like so in the two hero things. He's done more than two, but the two hero things I'm thinking of, Kick-Ass and Spider-Verse. Those are both these bit roles that are very memorable.
Spider-Verse is a good one.
I loved him.
I don't think Nicolas Cage has ever showed up to a job and went, I'm just not into it today.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's when somebody loves doing what they're doing. He loves making movies.
Yeah.
It feels
he
like it.
He always brings his A game.
And he's busy. Look at this, what we've got here in 2022 alone, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which everyone loved.
Oh, I still need to see that.
Butcher's Crossing, no idea. The Retirement Plan, which is still in the works but ready to release. That's in post-production. The Old Way, Renfield. Oh, that's next year. So he plays Dracula in the upcoming Dracula. Renfield. What the frick are we doing?
Nicholas Holt is playing Renfield, too, which is great.
I don't even know. Have you seen this photo? Like, I don't even know what to make of this. Oh, I'm sending it to you now because, gosh dang it, you guys. What the frick are we doing? Look at this business.
Oh, yes. How is that Nicolas Cage / John Travolta?
Oh, my gosh.
Is
he's going to be on a box of chocolate cereal.
Yeah.
And this is no Halloween. This is no small thing.
I want to describe this to people listening at home. Nicolas Cage is ostensibly a vampire. But what he looks like is somebody who is like your older uncle and was invited to the Halloween party and only understood a part of what the Joker costume is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
So he manages to own a maroon suit and he's wearing that and he's got white face on.
he looks like he's playing the dad in the uncle or the Seth Rogen remake of the Addams Family.
Right. Yeah. That's not. It doesn't feel
he's
too
playing
far
a John Travolta role to me. I mean, it is seriously some face off here.
Yeah, there's some a little bit of face off vibes. So this actually seemed decent cast. You got that Sharia Ashagosha Doshalu, whatever her name is, that's from the Expanse. Love her with her deep voice. Nicholas Howell, as you said, Brian Awkwafina, Ben Schwartz. This looks all right.
Yeah.
So the Renfield is, I suppose, supposed to be about Dracula being an actual real person who gets committed and finds himself in a asylum.
Yeah. I'm all in. We're going to be watching this. Where is this brand?
You're not worried that Awkwafina is going to take you right out with her? Oh, okay. So you're Dracula. I get it. All right, cool.
Oh gosh. You just ruined it because here's the thing. I'll watch Awkwafina in things and I like her in some things, but as soon as she starts doing that, I'm out.
It's
dude.
Got Ben Schwartz, and you're telling me Awkwafina's?
She's my problem.
Are you serious?
She's my problem.
Good point. Yeah, no, you're right. Ben Schwartz as Teddy Lobo. Is this going to be a comedy?
It looks like it might be a dark comedy.
Oh, actually, it is.
If like it's Nick Cage, I think it's going to have some comedy.
Oh, listen to this. Based on an original pitch by Robert Kirkman.
Oh, no way.
Horror. Yeah, with Walking Dead Robert Kirkman.
I'm in. Let's
Invincible
go.
Robert Kirkman.
I'm all in on this. I have no problem with this.
Okay. I'm excited.
I'm always in.
I want to challenge us to talk about things other than Nick Cage throughout this episode. It's just
that's why we're done now. No more Nicolas Cage talk. Yeah.
Like what's our movie next week?
Yeah,
the summary. the summary, which I just can't get over, and it's like hard to stop thinking about, is it's a Nick Cage in a Nick Cage movie about a Nick Cage played character. You know what I mean? Like, how is it that he is so dominant? You could have, as you were saying a minute ago, you could have gotten any, and by the way, get a European to play this role. Mm. Like he's supposed to be Ukrainian American, first generation Ukrainian, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is 2005.
Well, he's born, but he's also born here. So they don't grow up talking accents. They grow up like Americans.
No, right? I think he says at the beginning.
Yeah. He was a kid
when they immigrated.
Oh. Yeah. He's a survivor, and he's living in the House of Lies that is his father's fake Jew life.
Yeah.
And this is where he learns everything from. So,
what I'm saying is, even if you're a kid and you come over here, you could lose that accent pretty quick.
As a kid, you could
depending on how young you are when you grow up here. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that didn't bother me at all. But what got me was just, I thought this was based on a real story. It's not. It's based on a composite of like six of these dudes. And, that were actual arms dealers during this era, which is also kind of fascinating in its own way. But Andrew Niccol, our director here, I think is deftly handling the material. Not only directed it, he wrote it, which appears to be something he prefers to do with everything he makes. He directs and he writes. So this is the writer of Gattaca and director of Gattaca. He did
which
the Truman Show. Did Truman Show, or he wrote Truman Show, although I think Peter Weir actually directed it. Anyway, let's see, what else? The Host, Simone, The Terminal, Lord of War, In Time, The Minutes, Good Kill, something called Monopoly coming up. I hope that one's all about the game. Oh, it is. Shit. Oh no, it's not. I'm sorry. It's Kevin Hart is attached.
You be careful what you ask for, because you get it.
Alongside the director, our cinematographer for this movie is Amir Mokri, who we've seen twice before, and it's all starting to make sense. He was the cinematography for Bad Boys 2 and Season of the Witch.
I could see that.
Which we saw. Mm-hmm. We saw that on FilmSack.
Yeah.
And yeah, so like I felt like throughout the movie, I felt like, oh, the director and the cinematographer are punching above this movie's weight class.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed. I think it looked really good. And
yeah.
If I had any problem with it, really, over just kind of an overall before we get into the nitty gritty, is that it seems to have so many plot directions that it gets a little lost in itself about midway, and sure. isn't sure if it wants to be about a guy who's loaded and his family's effed and he is not telling him anything, or is this a movie about the proliferation of weapons in the 80s and 90s and, you know, arming opposite armies, you know, all the problems that come from that. I think it has one of the strongest intros I've ever seen.
Oh God, the opening title sequence is okay, amazing.
But love
that's
that.
The best since Forrest Gump.
You know what?
With the feather flying
yeah,
around?
That's pretty good.
I had to think about, wait a minute, how does Forrest Gump open?
Can that's we complain good. A little bit that the CGI graphics don't really hold up?
Yeah, 2005, this should have been better for something non-organic. There's no reason why.
Yeah, but that stuff at the beginning it was a combination of CGI and live action. You know, when you're in the box, that's just a camera in there and stuff. But
people are lifting up the lid and that sort of
thing.
But
when the bullet was being made and then eventually shot, those didn't age great. But I also thought they were stylized enough that I was fine with it. I knew they were titles. It wasn't supposed to be ultra realistic.
I'd already looked at Nicolas Cage, so, you know, the uncanny valley was already crossed. So it was good.
Yeah.
Stop right there. I know I'm not going to talk about anything other than Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
The first thing you see in this movie is Nicolas Cage. Like, he's standing there staring at his
head. Oh, that's true. And, yeah.
Bullets.
And I just like, did the rest of you have a moment where you're like, how's his hair doing? What's going on with his, you know?
Is there any spots? Is he getting old? What's going on?
Well, no, because, I think he's saying later, it's 80s later, hair, like, man. It's 80s hair.
We've seen Nicolas Cage over the subsequent 18 years, and it's gotten pretty bad. Like, when we saw him in that Willy's Wonder nonsense, like, he you know, his hair was really bad, like,
right, really, like oil dark grease, like he'd rubbed it on the bottom of a Camaro dark.
Right. Yeah. So like, I'm just curious if any of the rest of you were like sort of like clocking Nicolas Cage at for how he looked as you first saw him.
I think I gave a lot of benefit of the doubt or whatever to the fake aging process that they had to use, right? When you see him old in the beginning, then you see him young in the restaurant with his family. I didn't like say, oh, well, he doesn't look like he's 20 years younger or whatever. I completely went with it. It felt completely normal to me.
Yeah, it didn't
matter. Whenever I go to a Nicolas Cage movie, Nicolas Cage meets you at the front door and goes, here, let me see your keys. I'm going to park your brain you're good to go.
I'm going to park your brain over here.
I'm going to park your brain over here, buddy. So you don't have to worry about that. Yeah, just exactly. Enjoy.
Here's your ticket. Here's your claim ticket. When you're ready to leave, I'll give you back your brain. But yeah.
It's a weird thing too, because we now live in an era where the results of the proliferation of arms of the 80s and 90s, we can see a lot of those results. And I was having a lot of overarching thoughts about like the impact of that era and that post-Soviet crash, you know, vacuum of here come all the guns, where are they going to go? And that there one shot that was really effective for me. It was almost like Game of Thrones almost, or House of the Dragon. You walk into that room and there was that warehouse just with stacked AK-47s everywhere. God,
piles of them. Yeah.
And Uncle Gunrunner.
Uncle Gunrunner, yep. That was the guy. Yeah. Was he the one that was blown up in the car? That's Uncle Gunrunner?
He was. He blew up his uncle. Yes. Simeon blew up his uncle. Yes. This movie was so dense. I'm not going to give anybody any crap for going, I missed that. Because it's been a while since I had to watch a movie that I couldn't even step away for even 1 second because it was moved slow and it was so densely packed. It's not a bad thing. It just was.
Yeah, it was. I obviously watched the whole thing, and then but I took notes during it, and then I watched, because I typically do this when I'm writing my intro, is I'll watch the movie clips thing on YouTube, which has here are the key moments, so I can get some more of those things. And there was like one movie clip where it's like, oh, I don't remember that at all. It must have been I was looking down at my iPad typing in a note and completely missed it.
Yeah, there's
exhausting
a lot.
To stay engaged with this movie the entire time. It is exhausting.
Encaged is what you mean. Encaged. With
It was encaged.
Yes, I was. Yeah.
Don't be cagey about it. So, one other note about that: those guns. At least according to the trivia, they used a real stockpile of those over 3,000 AK-47s because it was cheaper than doing props. So they worked with like actual gun runners, like would go into these warehouses. Some Czech arms dealer guy is the one that got him access to those AK-47s. Like that's just. That is some insane bit of side note for a movie that's, needs to be serious and take some of this stuff seriously. But knowing how real those piles are kind of freaked me out a little.
The fact they had to work with actual gun runners to get those.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is cheaper somehow than props. That seems bad. It should be easier for me to get a prop gun than a real gun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
interesting. Yeah. I didn't think about it that I was thinking about filming locations in a lot of this, because in the United States, it's so difficult for the filmmakers, to get their hands on an actual AK-47. Like, why would they even do that?
Yeah.
But then when they're filming in, Africa, maybe that it's super easy to get those real weapons on set. Especially 20 years ago.
Did you guys see that Jonah Hill movie that's basically this plot? Anybody else see that?
I have not seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
Hold on, I'm going to find it. Jonah Hill.
Yeah, I did watch it. It was him and not Ben Schwartz, but it was somebody. It's him and another guy.
War Dogs.
War Dogs. That's it. Yeah. He played Ephraim
the Tiles Teller. Was that based on a true story? This was based
on an actual specific dude.
That's right.
And he plays a character named Ephraim Dervoli. Again, somebody with Jewish background, heavily Jewish influence.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Ephraim or something like that.
Is it Ephraim? Just Ephraim, right?
Ephraim.
Ephraim?
I don't know.
Well, Ephraim, all of them. Ephraim, all.
But that I saw that movie, and that movie is this movie. It's a little more comedy focused, and also in some ways it's scary. Not scarier. I don't know how to explain it. Jonah Hill makes me uncomfortable, and I don't mean that in a bad way. He's very good at this. When he's playing a horrible person, Jonah Hill's a really good horrible person.
The other thing that was exhausting about this particular movie, the Nicolas Cage movie, is that it's exhausting to watch somebody in a downward spiral. And that's what this movie's all about.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage is self-destructive all the way through.
Poor downward spiral. That's kind of rare that a movie has someone kind of failing, but falling upward constantly. At the very end, he's lost everything. He totally is the big winner. And it walks out,
he got what he wanted. And that's what he said in the movie.
Yeah, that was part of his narration.
It's kind of like, be careful what you wish for kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
He got what he wanted. He got successful, but at what cost?
Guys, it's got a few moments of just brilliant dialogue.
Yeah.
And the movie is a little better than the people making it. You know what I mean? It's this weird thing about Nick Cage, how he can elevate bad things, but he can't elevate himself to great things.
That's an interesting way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't really thought of that, but sure.
And I really came away thinking about the moment when Ethan Hawke asks him, how do you want to be remembered? And he's like, I don't want to be remembered.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. That was actually really, speaking of Ethan Hawke, I really liked him in this. I thought he did a great job. He's great anyway, but it's good to see.
He is.
He played it, but he did play really well as just the honest guy. He does really good at that. I like Ethan Hawke.
Trying to do the right thing when he was being presented with the fact about, that it's not all Boy Scouts here. You gotta make tough decisions that can affect things either way in a negative way. And that stuff's hard to portray in a film like this. I thought he did a good job of that.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
Ethan Hawke And Ethan Hawke and Jared Leto pick good movies.
Jared Leto was good.
We've only seen them each in one movie before Lord of War on Film Sack. Ethan Hawke in Gattaca, Jared Leto in Lord of War.
Oh, Jared Leto's got a few new things coming up.
And
by the way, also the same with Bridget Monaghan. Bridget Monaghan isn't on the same level as them as an actor, but we've only seen Bridget Monaghan once, and that was in The Sum of All Fears.
Gotcha.
Oh, was she in that?
I like her. I think she's great. Yeah. She did something recent that I thought was real good, and I don't remember what it is now. Oh, I'm still up on War Dogs page, so forget it. I can't find it.
I can't find it. It's not gonna. Oh, is she an iRobot as well? Wait a minute. She was. Oh, wait a minute. I know who this lady is. Okay.
Hold on. Lord of War. Where the hell am I? Okay, here. Bridget Monaghan. The one I'm thinking of is
John Wick.
John Wick. Yeah. That's what I was thinking of. Yep. John Wick stuff.
We saw her in Battle Los Angeles, didn't we? Didn't we watch Battle Los Angeles?
I don't think we sacked that.
We want to. We haven't.
What's the one where they're fighting the aliens on top of the buildings in Los Angeles?
iRobot? I don't know.
No, we definitely watched the equivalent of that, the non-union equivalent of what you're talking about.
Yeah, what the hell was the thing that we watched that I've been thinking was Battle Los Angeles?
I can't think of it either.
Battle LA? Was there something called Battle LA?
You're naming the same movie.
I know. Yeah. Well, I'm just
same movie, just longer name.
I can't think of it either, but Brian's right. We totally did this. We totally did this movie that you're talking about.
Talking about the RoboCop reboot?
No, it was one that was they were on rooftops and in like a really fancy condo.
Yes.
And the aliens were all outside of it, and they had to bust through windows, and somebody kind of big was in it, but they were the only, there was like stunt casting for one actor and everybody else sucked.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The hell is it? Yeah, I know. I'm trying to look. I guess
I'll need more information.
Something about aliens.
The Invasion. We watched The Invasion, but that's not the movie you're talking about.
Invasion LA? Was there something like that? I could have sworn it had LA in the title.
I'm with you on this. I cannot think of it, though. Cannot think of it.
Oh, well.
Well, anyway.
How are we not talking about Skyline? Ian Holm?
What was it again, Randy?
Skyline? Was it Skyline?
It's Skyline!
Skyline. That was the other thing I couldn't think of. I knew it was a sky or something.
Freaking Skyline, dude. Anyway, my wife loves her in Blue Bloods. I wanted to get that out there. She likes that show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. What do you think about Mustache Man?
She loves him. Are you kidding?
Okay. Does he have the mustache? Is it back?
Pretty sure in Blue Bloods he has it, but maybe I'm wrong. Right, hold on. Yep, he has the mustache in Blue Bloods.
Okay, good.
Yeah. It's right. It's only right? When he wears
it. It is. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, it's just weird watching without it.
Completely agree. It's one of the only procedural type regular network shows that I can stand. I actually kind of like Blue Bloods. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a little, whatever. They're good actors in it. And you got your Donnie Wahlberg, the underrated Wahlberg is in this. And he's a great cop in this, and it's fun to watch, and I kind of recommend it. I don't know if I highly recommend it. I just kind of recommend it.
I would suggest it. It's kind of a great suggestion.
I would suggest it. It's okay. Maybe. If you're looking for a procedural that isn't total trash, it's better than most, I would say.
Yeah.
All right. Also,
Ian Holm. We didn't talk about Ian Holm.
Let's do that.
Yes.
Yeah. What's this, Simeon, our third movie? Randy, I'm going to make a guess here. Alien, Fifth Element. Mm-hmm. This, and that might be it.
I got three more for you.
Oh, shit.
we sacked Ian Holm in Existenz.
Oh, was he in that?
Oh, really?
And he was in The Day After Tomorrow. That's easy to forget.
No.
He was in Time Bandits way back when.
Oh, right. Duh.
That makes sense.
I knew that. I love him in Time Bandits. Okay. Well, more than I thought. I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love him so freaking much. I think it sucks that he's dead. There, I said.
Yeah. He's not dead. He just disappeared.
If you want to watch.
He just put the ring on and he disappeared.
Let me put it this way. Right. If you want to hear one of his greatest performances, because you won't actually see him, but you'll hear one of his finest performances as the character Skinner in Ratatouille. He was the chief chef guy, head chef of the French restaurant that was such a pain in the ass. That is an amazing villainous performance that doesn't get talked about enough. I freaking love that guy.
I love Ratatouille. That's such a good movie.
Ratatouille's awesome, man. Uh-huh. Worth watching like right now. Drop everything. Let's go. Yeah. See you next week, everybody. All right. You want to know what grossed me out? This is going to be a tough one. Oh. Let me play the thing here.
There was so many. Anytime there's gross.
There you go. Go ahead. Tell me what you think.
Can I just get in on the ridiculous 2-star hotel in Africa? Like, just the whole thing. As you go in, like, they make a point of making every surface of that place look absolutely sticky. Yeah. Right? It's like, I just felt like the whole time he's walking into that hotel, he knows there's some prostitutes up there waiting for him. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking Scott Johnson would hate this.
I mean, I would never want to stay there. There's that is a true answer. But it did not make my, I will tell you something kind of tied here, but
I wouldn't guess that it's snorting floor cocaine.
There you go. Oh, you're so close. You're so close. All right. I'll just tell you. There's two things. Snorting shit off of anything. That's my number one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not good.
Don't do that. But
the brown.
Yeah. Don't do that at all. But kissing your TV over and over grosses me out for some reason.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. Really? I don't like that. Don't be kissing
your TV. Even if it's got Mikhail Gorbachev and his red wine stain on his head.
What do you imagine is on the TV that's grossing you out, Scott?
Because fingerprints, and now we know there's something really gross on there. That is Nick Cage's lip marks. I don't want those.
Who touches a TV screen? We live in different worlds.
Little kids
touch my TV.
Little kids touch them. He's got a little kid. There's no way that kid hadn't touched.
I guess you don't use like distilled water and vinegar to wash off your screens and stuff, do you? You don't do that.
Oh, is that a thing?
Just me.
Is that a thing?
Just me.
I never even heard of that.
Just you. Sorry, just you.
Does your house smell like an Easter egg? Like, how does that work when you put the vinegar on?
No, just the TVs. Just the electronics.
Okay.
Just the electronics.
Really? Screens and stuff.
Yeah, half solution of vinegar and water.
And distilled water specifically, right?
Yeah, distilled water. Yeah.
Okay, so that's interesting. So no corrosion with that? That's a clean.
No, that's good stuff. That'll clean screens.
Okay. Yeah. You're right.
You don't have to worry about kissing it. You just think, oh, it's Easter.
Yeah. I just think of making out with your TV is weird and gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
That's weird. Yeah. Gross.
Yeah, pretty gross.
Can we take a step back here? I want to ask you guys, did you know that brown is real?
Yeah, it has to be. I've heard it before. Where have I heard of brown
brown
before?
Brown,
I've
never heard of it.
So it's a purported form of cocaine mixed with smokeless gunpowder.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, that's what they were calling brown. Gotcha.
Oh, wait. So is that a thing would you shoot it or snort it?
Snort it.
Okay.
Yeah, he snorted it.
So there's no advantage.
That guy with the gun said, he's or use some brown. He's like, I don't want to do this. And he's like, okay, I guess I am doing it.
No, you're right. But wouldn't that be bad for you?
It would be terrible because smokeless gunpowder, the point of adding smokeless gunpowder to cocaine is that it has nitroglycerin in it, right? Mm-hmm. So nitroglycerin should cause your, vasodilation. It should cause your blood to flow more freely.
Yes.
And so that would intensify the effects of the cocaine, or at least that's what they think.
Yeah.
And then it makes you shit your pants. That's the brown part.
It is. I was amazed because I don't think I'd ever heard this phrase before. I was amazed to find out how often it appears. It is in all kinds of movies and books and TV shows.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've heard it before because I knew when I heard it, I was like, oh, no, that's the thing with the thing. But I've definitely heard it places before, but I was like, gross. Worst name ever.
Brown. Exactly.
How brown is it? Oh, it's brown.
Yeah.
I'll be right back. Gotta go make some brown.
But why is it? But cocaine is white. The gunpowder is dark, black, gray. Why is it called brown?
What's like that? I said, the only thing I have to figure is you shit your pants.
That's
the only way. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. I don't know. It's weird, man.
Yeah. Or maybe you cough up blood. I don't know. It sounds gross.
If you are,
I can't snort things, by the way. I can barely do nasal spray. I don't know how people snort.
Oh, I know, dude. Right.
Weird.
I agree. Ever since high school, my friend, I forgot his name. Can't remember his name, but I had a friend who snorted. It crushed up tiny tarts.
Brown, Scott.
He crushed up tiny tarts and would snort them in class.
Oh God, geez. Those people. I hate you so much.
I know.
Gross.
I know. His nose has got to be effed up because he did it a lot and probably moved on to actual drugs later. But his the one day that really threw us all for a loop and he ended up going to the nurse's office was he would crush him up like normal, snort him and go. And he was starting to become tolerant to the idea of the powder. Snorted an entire tiny tart up his nose, which got lodged up in his sinus, which got infected. It was a nightmare. Kid was an idiot. Ugh. Yeah, him and the other, him and the Patrick Nagel kid, not the artist, but Patrick Nagel, my friend, who set his hand on fire with rubber cement. Smart people I worked with.
The best people.
Some of the best people.
I appreciate that you always say, not Pat Nagel, the guy I work with.
Yeah, right. I want to be clear. The amazing artist Patrick Nagel should not be included.
The creator of the Rio album cover for Duran Duran, but a whole different Pat Nagel.
Yeah, that Pat Nagel had a lot of Playboy work and people bought their posters and it was a time for that guy. But this guy, no. He sucked.
Yeah.
He was dope. He was an idiot. Anyway, there's a scene in the movie where they land a plane in a road.
I love that scene.
Now, why are those people running toward where the plane's running? They're going to land. Like, they're literally running to the middle.
They've probably only seen a plane like twice in their life. And they're like, what do you do?
They don't know that you should always try to escape at 90 degree angles.
Okay. Exactly. That's movies.
Because they were doing like Charlize Theron in Prometheus when the giant wheel of death is coming at her. It's like, no, go to the left or right. Don't just run straight, you dummy.
Run straight.
And then there's a kid just happens to be sitting right there. That threw me. That took me out just a little bit. Because I was the whole trope of break on time and barely almost miss somebody thing is a million times in a trillion movies. Why is it in here?
I think it was a moment of, there was almost a moment of levity here. This is the first time we had an actual break in the film. This film had just been like back to back, just self-destructive stuff. But here we had like a moment of humor, of levity somewhat, where he's able to unload the whole stupid thing and thwart Ethan Hawke's.
Right. You know, but there's also just that continuing depiction of what all the gun running does for the children of the world, right? Like, the arming the kids, and the very title sequence ends with a kid getting shot in the head and the woman and her child getting attacked. Oh God, that was, even though you don't see it, it's hard to watch. But there's
Jared Leto saw it. Oh my God.
I think it's just one more of those in a movie that's strewn with those.
Yeah.
Well, right. And I think this is giving way too much credit to this movie. Like that we do need to accept that this movie has a ceiling and there's a lot of things above that. But this movie, I think, is trying to put you in Nick Cage's eyes as you see the baby on the road and the plane stopping short. And you're supposed to compare that to his own child back home. Right. And like you realize, oh wow, he's gonna lose that kid. You know, like he's gonna lose his own child, and he can only escape that moment so many times before karma comes for him.
Yeah, yeah.
I think karma, chameleon. I think.
Well, thanks for that. That's great. Yeah.
I have OCD. I think that the writer director Andrew Niccol, I think is his name. Niccol. How you say it? Or Niccol?
Niccol. Anyway, I don't know.
Yeah, writer of Truman Show, Gattaca. Yeah. I actually think this film fell very short of its potential. I think there's a lot going on there that just – there's so much to pack in this film, and it was already an over two-hour movie. I think that this movie had a lot more on the page than when it was able to be presented here. And because I feel like we didn't get a chance to look at his background, we never got a chance to have much empathy for Nicolas Cage's character, because all we were doing is just watching him, you know, spiral down and down. I think if we had an opportunity to explore that survivor aspect and the house he grew up in with his dad having all those lies, they kind of just hand waved over top.
I want to argue with you because the movie has a narrator of a voiced narrator,
right?
Can provide any subtext you want to provide. It's a filmmaker's fault if it's missing some subtext, because he could have just had Nick Cage tell you.
Right, right. Well, what I'm saying is I think that they could have made a better movie. I think something else was stopping this movie from reaching its full potential. I didn't have time to research it, but I don't think it was from lack of talent pool here. I think this movie could have been better.
Oh, yeah, they got all kinds of talent.
I don't think anything was being held back.
Don't you think this could have been a prestige TV, like, 10 episode absolutely. Limited series.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that 100%. I remember in the middle of it going, boy, this could probably be chunked out, you know, do six episodes or something and you'd pull it off pretty well.
I think primarily this movie suffers from time, and just the breadth of the whole subject is just so big.
It's a huge subject. It's hard to do. And in some ways that warlord or war dogs did some of this better, but it's also way more cynical. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about War Dogs. You guys should watch it and tell me what you think. But Gattaca is still really holds up. I don't know how the last time you guys saw Gattaca, but Gattaca holds the hell up. Mm. And it made me think that, wow, Andrew Niccol, that guy, he's not going to ever make anything bad. I still think The Truman Show holds way up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Things like The Terminal are pretty awesome. Although I guess Spielberg directed The Terminal, right? I think.
Right, right. But the story was
he
by
wrote
him.
It.
So
yeah, he yeah. wrote it.
I think his story writing probably outweighs his directing. So yeah.
Anybody see The Host, which was that Stephanie Meyer deal that isn't?
I
that isn't I Twilight.
Yeah, isn't Twilight. Isn't Twilight?
He directed that and did the screenplay for it. And I that feels like such a stray for him, like such a weird. It's fine. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to besmirch whatever Twilight for all of its things. I would never watch Twilight for. There's a whole legion of people who that was their thing, man. They loved it.
And, well, and I mean, you're saying that on FilmSack, like we we try to love movies that don't really deserve it.
That's true. We dig it. We do dig down some and try to find. I mean, we'll be honest about what we think, but we try to find what was great, even in the worst stuff. So yeah, that's a fair point. I did have a question here for Ibbot. As I wrote down, "Hey Ibbot, how do you feel about this particular cover of Hallelujah?" Is what I wrote.
Oh yeah, that's a classic one, Tim.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I mean it's almost as Jeff Buckley, almost as big as the Leonard Cohen original. Actually, maybe even more so. Like a lot of people only know this Jeff Buckley cover, and it didn't become popular until he kind of mysteriously died on a beach in Texas after a concert, after a show. And you know, this song all of a sudden took on a new life, a new meaning, and kind of a resurgence. So
he died in the Mississippi River.
But it was Mississippi. Okay, it was in
close enough.
What did Tennessee? They just find him face down. Did they figure out what happened?
he went for like a night swim and drowned, but they don't know if it was like an intentional. Drowning, like a suicide.
With your clothes and your shoes on is kind of suspicious.
And with concrete boots, I mean, just taking my little bath here.
Right, a little suspect right there.
Yeah, I put tape on his mouth. What the heck?
Right. That's how I swim at night.
Too soon?
Maybe.
Oh, dude, and Jeff Buckley was 30.
Oh, that's too young.
That's the other thing. Like, wow.
That's too young.
Just a huge talent. But
what do you think about this cover of Fade Into You by Mazzy Star?
I actually kind of liked it.
Was it a cover? I thought that was the original.
No, it was the original.
Oh, was it the original?
I do like the second week of Portishead, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, exactly.
2 weeks in a row.
This is what made me realize that I was, well, between the narration, you know, we got a narrator, and then we have this time traveling via Forrest Gump, you know, where you touch down everything you touch. You got to set up the situation with the song of that era.
Yes, yeah.
And then, so...
You know what song I think we can all agree we don't ever need to hear again in any movie or anywhere? That is Cocaine by Eric Clapton.
Cocaine.
But we had a big Ukraine Cocaine.
I know, but it's it's so overexposed. Like that movie, that song.
Agreed.
Yeah, I don't like it either. Yeah. I always forget.
I was done with Buffalo Springfield. Come on. I mean,
yes, right.
Like, it's my God.
Oh, what are we doing? A Vietnam War again? Movie here?
Yeah. They always bring that out. That's always a thing.
Yeah.
So you just reminded me of something I forgot. It was a music thing. Gosh dang it. Oh, I hate when I do that.
Oh, what was it? What was the songs in here? We had some Mazzy Star. Did we have Portishead? I might have missed it.
We did. Yeah.
I think so, I remember I write it down.
The little kid voice in me is saying, oh, is that how you say that? I think I used to, in my head, I used to read that and say Portishead.
Portishead. That's where I go. That's when, before plumbing, you had a Portishead and you went out there. Yeah. I can't think of what I was going to say, so forget it. Just forget it, you guys.
Forget it.
It was good, and I don't remember it,
right.
So forget it. It's going to come back. Sometimes when I just talk about it, it comes back. It's not coming back.
Yeah. Right.
I feel like it left and said, no, Dad, I'm done. This is our last fight. I'm not going to come. This thought is not coming back into your head. All right. Well, I won't worry about it.
I did love, I don't know, the Jared Leto character, even though it was kind of a one note kind of thing. I like the fact that we went through his, you know, he kind of went through his whole Jenny moment too, like in Forrest Gump.
Where he had a full, he had a real arc, man. He went from.
Yeah, he had a real arc.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unlike, you know, Nick Cage's character who just kind of. Flat line from the beginning, but he didn't really change. He just got wiser or accepting. How about that? He just become accepting of his reality.
Oh, maybe. I know what it was. Sorry, it just came back.
I knew he'd get
it. Okay, so here's my thing that just came back to me. Favorite because Randy brought it up and then I lost my thread.
Oh, Randy.
Favorite. It's not his fault. Favorite movie where narration is a major part of it. And why is it Goodfellas? Because nothing else is as good as that.
Yeah.
There's plenty of movie, and Scorsese does it all the time, right?
No, he's constantly doing it. That is the best example of all of it.
Yeah, in fact, all of Scorsese's movies, almost all, use it as a thing. But he's a master of that narration. Like, I don't know why it's so good when he does it and nobody else feels quite up to that task. This movie started in a way that felt like they were going to go the Scorsese narration way.
Yeah.
Right. And it kind of veered off and forgot about itself for big chunks. And then you'd go, Nick Cage is narrating part of this. I forgot.
I have some alternatives.
Okay, give it.
Because this is something I think about all the time.
It's definitely not the non-director edition of Blade Runner, but go ahead.
Right. Yeah, agreed.
It's horrible.
Peter Falk in The Princess Bride.
Oh yeah, that's very good.
Amazing narrator. Yeah, not used as much, I don't think.
Hmm.
Ewan McGregor in Big Fish.
Big Fish is good.
I'm sorry. No, Ewan McGregor is the younger version. Albert Finney does the narration.
Oh, it's been a while. I don't remember who narrated.
And then Wonder Years with Fred Savage.
I mean, maybe. That's not a bad call.
Whoa, Princess Bride and Fred Savage. Wow. All right. Apparently he got kicked off the new Wonder Years as a producer because he was...
Oh, God. Yeah. Why?
I don't want to hear that about him.
I don't want to hear nothing. La, 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 la.
And then what we always talk about so much that you almost forget is Morgan Freeman for Shawshank Redemption. He's just... It's ubiquitous, his narration. Yep, of that
that's
movie.
A good one. That's right up there. That's got to be in the top five, probably.
Yeah.
That's a good call. I like it when it's done well. It's one of my favorite tropes in movies, but I hate it when it's bad. And a couple of examples in both cases, they turned around and made like definitive editions without it because the directors didn't want it. And that would be Blade Runner and Dark City, one of my favorite movies ever. Awesome. And Dark City had Kiefer Sutherland doing a narration for the top and middle and bottom, it was horrid. Right. It just didn't fit. Yeah. And the studio forced it because they thought the movie was too weird. If you ever want to see that movie proper, get the one without that, and it's amazing. I mean, the original's fine too, but just you don't have to explain everything to us. If it's not, if the narration doesn't like really add to it, like it does in these other examples, then don't freaking do it. Don't lean on it as a crutch.
Mm-hmm. Often that's how you get from a book to a movie too. Like,
if the book is real dense.
Right.
Like that,
Stand By Me, right? It's a pretty simple movie, but it's really punched up by having Richard Dreyfuss explaining a bunch of stuff that you just don't have time to
dialogue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is all true.
Is there a trope for this? Somebody help me out here. The bullshit science facts. Is that something?
I like it. Bullshit science facts.
I don't know if this is true or not, but of course we just talked about the 10% of your brain recently in Flight of the Navigator, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, Nicolas Cage drops this comparative at some point in time, says a 4.5-month-old, we have a lizard tail. And I'm like, what? I'm pretty sure that's bullshit. Is that... But I've heard it before.
That's true.
Some kind of, like when we're being developed in mommy's belly, not like we're 4.5 running around with a diaper. But yeah, like 4.5. I don't know. But immediately I was like, oh, that sounds like some bullshit we would have believed in 2005.
I mean, there's some like one off. There's one off you'll find once in a while. A kid will just have a vestigial tail that is just like a little lump or something, and that for whatever reason genetically it just kind of had a little offshoot. But I don't think he's right in that. Every baby has a tail for a hot second. I don't think that's true.
Right.
Could be wrong.
It felt like
I've heard that before myself.
I've heard it before too, but I'm pretty sure it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to share with you the worst photo I've ever seen. Would you guys like to see it?
Please. Is it what happens when you search for every baby born with a tail?
Close.
By all means, go see me. Thank
you. Someone had that removed.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'd have that removed too, unless my name is Ratso Rizzo.
How did that not just fall off? Oh, God. I'm going to puke.
That's really gross. Sorry. What?
What?
You broke, so Randy. Good. Thanks a lot.
It's so good.
I could top it. You ready?
Yeah.
God, no. I'm not looking.
No, I'm not.
I want to see it. Put it in. I do. I want to see it. Let's see what you got.
What is that?
Oh my God! It's got a blump at the end. What is that?
Like a boob. It's like the tail of a boob at the end.
Oh,
yeah, it's got its own breast.
Is there anyone out there looking for an experienced podcaster?
That one's photoshopped, obviously.
Okay. All right, all three of these will
don't
be
turn Lomar made into
the
a
Patreon.
Baby.
The Patreon.
No, they won't. No,
we're gonna torture you with that.
Is there a way to do like spoiler, like tag it so that it's black until you click on it?
As far as I know, no. But they can do. You can do that in. I think Discord lets you do that.
Why don't you feed that into the AI Discord, and see if we'll go ahead and get that robot uprising we've been wanting.
Yeah, let's get that happening. Oh my gosh, that's nasty. All right. Yeah. Let's see.
It looks like the one single boob that we saw in this film, which I think was a.
Can we talk about that? Let's talk about that for a second. So she leaves. They pay her. They say, get out of here. That's Jared Leto's drunk girlfriend.
Push her out the door, hand her a stack of money. And the way she puts her arm down causes the strap of her dress to slide down and fully expose her boob.
Yeah.
And it's totally pointless. Abruptly. Yeah.
Right. What was the scene for? I mean, you could have totally cut it.
The scene?
I don't know.
I mean, it's to show that... Jared Leto's character is out of control. He's inviting hookers back for Christmas.
But if you had to cut it before the boob fell out, would it have made any difference?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all.
Okay, that's what
this movie has a pretty incredible amount of movie nudity.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it was exhausting. It's exhausting, so unrealistic.
Movie nudity.
It's so unrealistic. Movie nudity is always this thing where someone's nude, but you can't. You're only seeing the top of their back, the side of their leg.
Yeah. And it's never the nudity that you want. It's always the nudity. In real life, it's never the nudity you want. It's always, oh, God.
It's the nudity you
Grandma,
get.
Grandma, put that away.
Yeah,
right. Yes. And in real life, when you show up at your grandma's house to check on her and she's naked, the first thing you see is her butthole. And in movies, you have Bridget Moynihan refusing to put on clothes. And the only thing you see is the top of her back.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like in the scene where him and his brother are getting it on in the hotel room.
What?
Yeah. Not him, not together. They had two.
Okay. Well,
They had two girls with them. I think that's weird. Like if it's Fargo and you got, you know, the Russian dude and can't think of his name I can't think of anyone's name all of a sudden. Anyway, when it's your friend, your hitman friend, and you're both doing it in the room with two ladies you've never met.
Yeah.
I get it. Your brother over there just in the room. That's weird. Can't do it.
Yeah, you can afford a suite with a couple separate rooms. You know, maybe do that.
Yeah, do that and don't ever do it again is the answer. Sorry, I had to put one more in there. Okay.
I can't even tell what I'm looking
at. Oh, my God. Why? Will you stop posting Discord?
Okay, I'm not going to do it anymore. I promise. You can block me from Discord. That'd be awesome. All right. What else? Anything else you want to say about Lord of War? It's a big movie. I feel like it's hard to dissect. Like,
it is.
Dunaway said it earlier. Really it's so dense. There's so much going on. It's good, though. I would recommend it, actually.
I'm guessing that the other things that I have listed here are things that are going to come up in audio clips. Yeah.
Oh, very well.
I did like something that you may have not noticed. Like I said, this movie is full of like small things. So like we didn't get a chance to really look at Nicolas Cage's what was his addiction and the irony of him always giving shit to his brother. Anyway. At the end, his lies that are revealed when his wife opens what do you call those things? The locker of shame.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got all the guns and stuff in there. A
huge freaking trope.
Yeah, yes. Huge freaking trope is what it is.
Big trope.
Give me the trope name.
Mm-hmm. Almost certainly not ever happened in real life.
Yeah.
How do you run electricity to a freaking container?
Like portable power generator. Duh.
And you may not have noticed because I didn't, but her paintings are in there too. So his entire reveal of his lies.
Oh, definitely
not
noticed that. Because
yeah, you had to because she saw it and went, he bought my painting.
I looked away for half a second and I missed it. Yeah.
Oh, and can I just insert a trope into that, which is just drives me freaking crazy.
Oh my gosh, a trope like a inside of a trope, like a turducken trope.
Yeah, turducken trope,
All right, what do you got?
It's the does not like guns trope. The entire freaking movie, we're told Yuri doesn't like guns. Yuri doesn't like guns. Yuri doesn't like guns. We go to his secret container hideout. Guns on the wall.
Yeah.
Now, does he like them or not? Make up your mind.
He wants to keep his family separated from his work, is what he would. Like I said, once again, I don't think this movie was big enough to really hold everything, all the ideas that were going on.
Well, it's because why? It's because he pissed blood.
Pissed blood!
Yeah.
Blood!
Yeah, yeah. That was from Matchstick Men, another great Nicolas Cage movie.
Yeah.
Speaking of which.
You're great in kind of air a little.
Oh, I love Matchstick Men. Oh,
just a little bit.
I love that movie. I think it's great. It's also weird because it's Ridley Scott, which you just don't think of for a movie like that. I loved it.
Right.
I thought it was awesome.
Am I getting old and all I ever think about is I sure hope I'll. Oh, yes, of course I am. I always have a contingency plan for what if I have to pee because I have to pee more than I used to. And when he had to spend the 24 hours on that bucket, I was like, did he pee?
I'm glad you brought that up. That plane
out of the desert.
Disintegrating time lapse plane disintegration was awesome.
Which was such a great scene.
Love that.
But never once did he have like one of the locals come over and help him pee or something because I guess he just sat on that bucket all night.
Well, they didn't show him while they showed the thing falling apart. It was just off in the foreground or the background. And so when the camera panned back to him, he probably pooed and peed 20 times.
Pooed and peed.
This is the moment, by the way, when I have to extol the listener. If you didn't watch this movie, stop now. Go watch the movie. That scene alone, the entire sequence of landing the plane and then getting out of jail, basically, and then what you see in time lapse is just incredible.
Yeah, it's
good. Worth the whole movie's worth it for just that sequence.
I agree. It's really a powerful moment that's just done right, and the music's perfect for it, and it's just good. That part is great. Yeah. And I assume they took apart a real plane for that shot. I don't know.
I'm assuming so. Yeah. They did not like CG.
It didn't look like their opening bullet CGI level. Yeah. Looked far better.
Yeah. Looked a whole lot better. All right. Well, I do have clips. Should we play them? Let's do them.
Well, yeah.
Do it.
I agree. I think it's time. Let's do these clips. Here's a whole bunch of them. Starting with this one. It's about a hat.
I like the hat.
He likes the hat.
He does. He likes that.
You got something up there above you. Yes.
This is a hat on your head. I like it. Be more human, Morbius.
Beware of the dog. You don't have a dog. Are you trying to scare people?
No, scare me. Remind me to beware the dog in me. The dog that wants to fuck everything that moves, wants to fight and kill weaker dogs. I guess it's to remind me to be more human.
Yeah, and then that's when you knew he was going to die.
Young Americans by David Bowie playing the
background. Yes, I heard that. I was so excited to hear some David Bowie.
Oh, nice. I didn't even notice. That was some foreshadowing, though, because that's the moment you knew that Jared Leto's character would die. You just knew it.
Knew it. Had to.
Nick Cage says something here. It's I played at the top here.
I've tasted your borscht.
Have you guys ever had borscht? I've never had it.
I have, yeah.
It's good?
A cold beet soup. Well, I guess it doesn't have to be cold, but it's good. Yeah, Crazy Neighbor makes it, and it's excellent.
I would like some.
Do you like beets?
I do. I like beets.
Do you like
them? I like beets in I like them. How do I like them? I like them pickled. I like a pickled beet. I know that's not the same, but I do like that.
If you make borscht with lots of beef stock and onions, it's not bad. It's always the borscht that has no real, you know, like beef flavor and no onion flavor that people hate.
Yeah, you want I would need those two
interesting
latter items for it to be good. Bilbo Baggins speaks.
I don't think you and I are in the same business.
All right, there's that. We just died, right? Like last year. Yeah,
a couple years ago. It's been
a couple years,
2020, something like that. Yeah.
Man, Ian Holm. Personal favorite, what? Oh, this is where he talks about his favorite color.
My personal favorite color, gray.
Gray.
Gray. Oh, gray.
Well, that's the punchline. That's a punchline of a joke.
Sort of.
Where he's listed out, you know, that some things are black and some things are white. And then he
prefers the gray.
Shut up and get to the fun of this scene. That scene where they're hurriedly trying to change everything that's you can see about a ship is really cool. Like I enjoyed that part of the movie where, and it happens three times where he's being captured by Ethan Hawke and gets out of it.
Yeah. A little too easily in a couple of cases, but whatever. He was addicted to that. I think the danger, the changer, and the stranger. All right, here's I don't know what that meant. Here is the Cage not I wrote Cage not known for his Spanish speaking, so I'm guessing if I was a native Spanish speaker, I would think this was wrong, so I'm going to play it.
Whoa. Vendo armas, no drogas.
Sounds like some bullshit to me.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a gringo accent, but like I think he's supposed to be bad in all the different languages that he speaks. Yeah. And so it becomes mysterious why he's got such good English, you know, which I said earlier, like,
right.
He, I don't know. I wish they had gotten a freaking Ukrainian actor to play this role. It would have been very interesting.
Yeah, they could have. Why not? There's plenty of Ukrainians. Check this one out. I don't know what this is.
The first and most important rule of gun running is never get shot with your own merchandise.
Yeah, It's funny, out of context, it's just so Nick Cagey. If you're not seeing a movie along with it, it's just so like, oh my gosh, all right.
And of course, that's the trope of the rule that you're gonna get broken. Like he gets shot by his own merchandise later in the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's one about taking your picture.
Why don't I take your picture?
Oh yeah, why don't I do it? That's pretty good. Ethan Hawke arrives.
We've met before, off the coast of Colombia. What was the name of that freighter? I can't remember. Was it the Kono or the Cristal?
The crew called that vessel a lot of names. None of them repeatable in polite company.
Answer the question.
Answer the question. I like the guy that was the Interpol guy working with him that was just happy to throw the body in the woods and say this happens all the time. Yeah, that was great. All right, here's this made me laugh. It's Uncle Gunrunner saying stuff here.
I told him to go have intercourse with himself.
Didn't we all love that guy?
Yeah. Why not? I was sad when he got blown up. Legit, it was a moment of like, ah, damn it, come on. All right, here's blaming MTV.
Personally, I blame MTV.
Yeah, there's Warlord Jones there with his thought.
We haven't really talked about him.
He's great. He's great.
I'm forgetting the actor's name.
I'll find it. I had it right here a second ago. It is, let's see, Lord of War. Okay, so that guy's name is...
Eamon Walker,
and he's great.
He's so great. Good.
He's in stuff we've seen here.
Ethan Hawke and Eamon Walker.
He was like the main heavy in Oz.
Yeah.
Right?
Something else, though.
The wizard?
There was something else. Hold on.
Sorry, that is the in an episode full of funny things Brent Dunaway has said. That was absolutely
right up there.
I could walk away right now and feel like I've got everything I need to get out of this.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Eamon Walker, by the way, has pulled a rare quadfecta where he has played the same character in four different TV series. Those are Chicago Justice, Chicago Med, Chicago PD, and Chicago Fire.
Wow.
It's just really something that he's...
Gets around the departments there.
Bounce through those.
Yeah, the Chicago Municipal Departments. I remember what I'm thinking of. He was in Invincible, played a doctor in it. I remember that now. He's got a really unique face, and I thought he was like genuinely menacing in this.
Oh, you mean Unbreakable?
That's what I meant. What'd I say? I meant Unbreakable.
Invincible.
Oh, I meant Unbreakable, sorry. With the people in it.
There were people in it.
Eamon Walker character, what's his name? Nick Cage keeps calling him Andy. Mm-hmm. But his name is Baptiste.
Mm. Yes.
There was something weird to me about this character and the sound of his voice and everything, and his name is Baptiste. And then in Overwatch, there's a character named Baptiste who looks kind of like him and
sounds a little like him.
Kind of. Yeah, it was just that struck me as odd. Yeah.
Maybe I don't know. And talk to those, pull Kaplan out of the ashes and ask him what the hell he was doing. All right, here's one of his sons saying stuff. So here's this.
Can you bring me the gun of Rambo?
Bring me the gun of Rambo.
And I love the response. You mean First Blood Part 1, Part 2, or Part 3? It's
like, I've only seen the first one.
It's such a great. And he knows right off the top. Oh, yeah, first one. Yeah, it's this one.
Yeah, that was really good. Oh, I know this is going to seem inserted or kind of out of the way here, but I got an audio clip from Ibbitt's mom.
Get out, really?
Yeah,
wow.
I know, weird. Nuts. And we've never had this before. It's you on prom night, and I don't even know the context here, but I kind of don't want to know. But you were in trouble on a date, and this is what happened right here.
No condom within 100 miles.
Oh, my gosh, dude. What are you going to do?
Wow. Nice isolation there, too.
Yeah. Jeez. What are you going to do? If there's no condom within 100 miles,
yeah,
you're done.
Exactly. No thank you,
yeah.
Pretty ladies writhing on me. And
pretty ladies.
Grabbing me and your Dallas Cowboy. I guess they weren't wearing their Dallas Cowboy cheerleader costumes then.
Nope.
Right.
They were wearing their AIDS warning costumes.
Yeah. I so enjoyed those sequences where he's riding in the car with Junior.
Yeah, Junior was fun. Yeah.
Yeah, he just wants a Rambo gun. That's
Junior freaked me out. I think that's just sort of based on these Saddam Hussein had his sons that were psychos. I think this is just like a composite of that. It's like weird sons of dictators. It's a weird subtrope.
It's an actor named Sammy Rotibi.
Mm.
He's been in some really interesting things, but I don't think he's ever we've ever seen him in like the lead of anything.
No.
This is our first time seeing him on FilmSack. Sammy Rotibi.
Rotibi. All right, say the name, movie.
You know, they call me the Lord of War, but perhaps it is you.
Perhaps you are the Lord of War. Perhaps this movie is called Lord of War.
Perhaps.
Here's the general. I don't know why I don't know who the general is. Here it is.
I can't know you right now.
Oh, okay. My theory is it's not in the credits. Can't find it anywhere. I swear this is Donald Sutherland.
Oh, interesting. I was hearing Brolin.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm going to play it again. Let's all make a decision here.
I can't know you right now. It's not a good time.
I swear that's him, dude.
Ooh.
Yeah. I can hear Donald the Sutherland. Sutherland. Yeah. Yeah,
One more time, because there was another voice that came and left, another face that came and left.
All right, here we go.
I can't know you right now. It's not a good time.
Nick Nolte is...
There's a little Nolte in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, old Nolte, sure.
Old Nolte.
But they don't say... I couldn't find trivia or any kind of cutscene stuff or any kind of like uncredited notes.
Yeah. Nothing.
I can't find anything about who played that general. And they didn't show his face. It was always in the back. So it felt like a sneaky Pete moment where they're like, oh yeah, this is a famous actor. He's uncredited, but he's a friend of the writer, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah. This movie didn't create enough of a buzz to create a very good Wikipedia or trivia page.
No,
it just did good enough and well enough.
Yeah. I need to know though. So chat room, there's no chat room. People listening to the show, if you guys have a theory or know this, I'd love you to write that one in. Let's see. Firing bullets at our bullets.
They're firing bullets at our bullets.
I like that.
Our bullets.
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 It's really great. This is a good one from Cage.
Okay. Fuck.
That was good.
Yeah. That's very, very Cage. Cagey.
It's very cagey. Yeah. And then say the name one more time.
Lord of War.
All right, Lord of War.
Lord of War.
All right, like there's your clips. Time for the checklist.
Oh, boy, howdy.
It's time for the Film Sack checklist. Bullet cam, check. Quick girlfriend nip slip, check. Tarmac baby was a dumb idea, check.
Oh,
it was dumb. That was stupid. Star Trek connections, there's bound to be... I mean, Ian Holm feels like one, but I could be wrong. Who we got? Anything? Anybody?
Nothing.
Wow.
Sorry, I'm just, I've been so stunned. I'm sitting here trying to figure out what you were talking about previously. Mm. Donald Sutherland is on the cast list right below Ian Holm.
He is?
Okay.
No, I missed that entirely.
Really?
Oh, okay. Well
done.
Okay, Jeez. So I didn't know he was even in there, though.
Look at the big ears on Johnson.
Are you sure? I don't see it in the cast.
The cast list and in the trivia.
Full cast list.
In the trivia, they say that the director gave him his name, Colonel Oliver Southern, to reference Ollie North, who was... Southern, I guess.
Yeah, and also a big part of that era's gunrunning issue stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Well, now I feel both dumb and smart because
you should feel smart.
I couldn't find any notes. Like, and the reason there's no extra notes, it's like one of those things where I'm looking too hard and I can't find extra stuff. If I just looked at the basic stuff, there he is.
Duh.
Yay. So we don't have any connections at all, like zero connections to Star Trek stuff. But I did want to take a moment and raise a toast to Estelle Louise Fletcher.
Oh, yes. Nurse Ratched.
Yeah, that's Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. She won an Academy Award, a BAFTA, and a Golden Globe for that one movie. And she was an unknown when she stepped on the stage to take her Golden Globe. Louise Fletcher died at 88 this week.
She was an amazing Bajoran evil lady in DS9.
I would say in a series with a lot of villains, she was probably the best.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember at the time going, "You're terrible. You're a horrible Bajoran.
Mean,
horrible person.
Like bad, like almost as bad." Who joined her in that was another famous actor, guy who played Nixon in Frost v. Nixon.
Frank Langella.
Frank Langella was also in those sequences, and he was also very evil in that. Anyway. She was great.
I just want to say rest in peace, Louise Fletcher. Like I say, she was 88, and she at least reportedly died peacefully in her sleep with her family nearby.
Oh, that's what you want.
Reportedly, like it's reported, like the alternate story was her going.
That's the worst. That's the story you don't want to hear. You don't want to hear that one.
Don't tell them that. Don't tell them that. No, tell them peacefully in the sleep.
Yeah, peacefully in the sleep, not screaming in the night. Anyway, right. Congratulations to her and her life of quality work. She did a lot of stuff. It's just everyone always thinks Nurse Ratched. And also, it's not Ratchet. It's Ratched.
Ratched with a D.
Ratched. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
But it didn't matter.
Otherwise, it's Ratchet. Nurse Ratchet.
Ratchet. Nurt Ratchet.
Nurt.
All right. Let's get to the soundtrack grade. I would give it a G for great, especially all the song, licensed song stuff. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of it was kind of like, oh, they're playing that again. Okay. But I still liked it. Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Lord of War, a serious movie full of comedy that doesn't want to be full of comedy, or maybe it does, but it wants you to take its message very seriously. And its message is, don't do guns.
Yeah. Don't do guns, kids.
Thanks, Reagan.
I think it actually it's hard to say. What is the message? I don't actually know.
And it was easy.
Yeah, it was easy. The message was actually life is hard and we're all suffering. And some of us are survivors and some of us aren't.
There's actually a message right in the middle of it that felt like the summary of the movie. And it was he says something about, the old saying is that for evil to proliferate, it just requires that good men do nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And he's like, forget that there are no good men, basically.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. There's only survivors. You got to do what you got to do.
Well, I don't like that message. That message sucks. I don't like it.
Yeah, it
does. Yeah. It's cynical and I don't like it. Okay. Well done. Hey, Brian Dunaway, it's your turn.
Lord of War. According to this movie, selling guns is either like sex or selling vacuum cleaners. Why not both? Something, something, suck, blow. This post was rated R. Hashtag go have an course with yourself.
I don't know. We need to parlay this into like a career for you. I don't know
channel
what.
Channel this hyper energy into.
It's such a good skill to have. I don't think anyone else I know has quite that skill.
It's something.
So no pressure, Ibbet. No pressure. No pressure at the back end here.
Oh, I know. Never any. Yeah. Lord of War, The Godfather with assault weapons. poor Fredo.
Oh, Fredo. Aww,
poor Fredo.
Horse head in the bed.
And all right. Poor Bilbo. In this movie.
Poor Bilbo.
Poor Bilbo.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Bilbo got it bad, dude.
Yeah.
Bilbo got it bad, yo.
Yep.
Bilbo got it real bad.
Stuff sliding down the glass behind him.
Yeah, Bilbo. That was nasty. Bilbo brains. All right, let's move on. It's time for the alternate titles. These were just handed to me on this little slip of paper right here, and I'm going to read them. This movie was almost called Cage Match, All Guns Blazing. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Fits. Or Raising Arizona 2, I Gotta Get Me a Rifle High. All right, moving on. Emails. We got a couple of them here I want to read. First one from Darren. These come to us at filmsack@gmail.com. Darren says, Scott, Brian, and Randy, I have been a listener since retrograde. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
That got you to stay?
I know. That's what I'm saying. That would put me off. Anyway, and every Sacktober, I eagerly await your list of horror movies for the Halloween season. But each year, I have been left disappointed that you continue to ignore the perfect film sack Halloween movie. The Stuff.
Yes! I've been talking about that recently, The Stuff. It is so good.
We don't ignore it. I think we just don't have it streaming, right?
Dude, yeah. It's streaming, but not the places that you guys like. It's like, you know what I mean?
You mean
it's actually, it's possible. So, as my co-hosts know, we had a plan. Every year we make a plan kind of early and then see what falls out of it. This year, maybe one or two have fallen out of it. So we're sort of like still looking for the end of the month. But we know what we're sacking next week. And I'll just add The Stuff to the things I'm looking.
Let's put it on. Why not?
We're recording this right now on September 24th, and we just don't know what's going to happen a week from now.
No,
it's stuff just like changes every single month, but especially going into October, we get messed with.
We were looking at Scream for a long time, and for some inexplicable reason, you take Scream off as Halloween season begins.
But in September, we just don't know. It could be on five services next week. So yeah,
good point.
We're just like we're keeping our eyes on a lot of things, but anyway. Yeah. I'll add The Stuff. It's currently on AMC Plus, like Dunaway said. It's like not our not necessarily.
You were thinking Dunaway was thinking Fubo or some commercial thing, right?
Is it not? Yeah, well, it's definitely on Tubi TV. Yeah. And if you turn off the ads and stuff, it actually will not play the ads on Tubi TV.
Really?
But it says subscribe and watch on Prime, which I don't want to see.
How do you turn off ads on Tubi? Because Tubi's 100% free, I thought, right? So it's all commercials or no? Are you saying you can block them?
It is. I am saying if you want to screw Tubi out of their money, you just throw on your ad blocker.
Oh, it works. Oh, really? Okay. That works?
And I think that's correct.
You're making me want to watch Tubi now. Nice work.
Yeah.
You convinced me to watch Tubi for free.
Right. Tubi for free. Don't screw them over. Watch the ad, you jerks.
You bunch of lazy jerks.
But yeah, Randy's right. AMC.
As many years as we've done Sacktober and sacked like four or five movies, you'd think we would run out. But I'm telling you, the list of things I'm tracking is huge. It gets bigger every year.
Yeah.
And so I'll make sure The Stuff is near the top of that list.
All right.
Love The Stuff. There's nothing hardly better for film sack that I can think of.
All right. Well, he goes on to say it has great 80s stop motion practical effects, idiot parents saving their kids or saved by their kids, Michael Moriarty, and a fantastic VHS cover for you to reminisce about. It even has Danny Aiello and Paul Sorvino, rest in peace, in supporting roles. But most importantly, the main character is Chocolate Chip Charlie, a karate fighting Famous Amos knockoff played by Garrett Morris from SNL fame.
Oh my God. I love that Famous Amos became big enough that he had to have like a parody of him in a film. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know, awesome. Right? It says his hands are registered with the Medford, Georgia Police Department as lethal weapons. It's currently streaming on Amazon via Shudder. So just Shudder.
7-day trial, Shudder.
So just on Shudder. Thank you for your consideration. And Sacktober is the most magical time of year, says Darren. So thank you, Darren.
It's pretty good. Comment. Like I'm pretty excited about what we're gonna sack in October.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Earlier, Brian's mentioned Brandy. I think you meant Mandy, right?
I did mention. I thought I said Mandy. I didn't think.
Oh,
I
you might have said. Okay, maybe I misheard it.
I'd watch
oddly
Brandy.
Oddly enough, not that it's related to anything, but Barry Manilow's song Mandy was originally called Brandy, but he had to change the title because there was already the Brandy You're a Fine Girl by Looking Glass. If I did get those two confused, it's probably because of that.
Mandy. Instead of Brandy. Anyway, there's that. Thank you, Darren. Here's one from Dylan who says Scott, Brian, Randy, Brian, Randy, and Scott. My name is Dylan Brassington. I'm here in Cairns, Australia, and I listen to you guys every week while I work. Just got through listening to the one about assassins, with Scott not being able to find the origins of the word simpatico. The origin of the word in the Italian and Spanish languages also, on another note, they're saying that's where they're from. On another note, the word capiche also has its origins in the Italian language. I absolutely love what you guys do and look forward to hearing it on the podcast. Keep up the work. I mean, I assumed capiche was...
Randy said that.
You might have. You might have. Did you? I don't remember.
I'm giving credit to the Australian.
Well, the Australian may have written this hastily before you piped in. That happens sometimes. We're going to call you the Australian, Dylan. That's your new name.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like some people will say, I can't believe you guys didn't say, and then they'll send the email and then they'll write back later and go, ignore that. I just heard you say it.
Yeah.
Everything's
yeah.
fine.
Like Donald Sutherland for this episode.
Yeah. I love that actually because it means you're really engaged and I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of people say we've heard many people tell us they scream at their, you know, whatever they're listening to the podcast on because we say something stupid and we can't recover from it, but then we correct it later on. And yeah, it's hard to listen to people say things wrong, right?
Yeah, I agree.
I can't really stand it. That's why I can't go on Twitter.
Yeah, you can't do that. Why would you do that?
You said it wrong.
I'm going to watch Maverick on Tubi later. That's what I'm going to do.
Maverick, the one we already sacked?
No. The TV show, the old Maverick TV show from the 60s.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Not the new Top Gun sequel?
No, I do want to see that, but Tubi does not have that. All right. Those are your emails. Filmsack@gmail.com is the email address to use. I want to thank some brand new patrons who just joined us over at patreon.com/filmsack. They include Justin Jeffries, Brap, B-R-A-P, Brap.
Oh, Brap.
That's like a phonetic burp, right?
It is. I think that was used as phonetic burps in comic books.
Probably Brap. Was. Brap. Sven Oldenburg, Jarrett Baker, K-Sin HD, Holly Cuppy, and finally, Raymond Miller. You are all awesome. Thank you for joining us on the Patreon. You want to be like those people? Sign up today, patreon.com/filmsack, and you'll get bonus content every single week, every single month, and other things. Go read about it. It's all there. And you'll find out why supporting your favorite film show is good for you. That's patreon.com/filmsack. All right. Our next movie is going to be The Torture Chamber of Dr. Sadism.
Ooh,
that
wow, awesome.
That kicks off our month of Sacktober, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Finally,
how we
it
feel.
Is here.
I've never seen this. Yes, a 60s movie.
55 years.
Yeah. Give me an idea. Well, give me an idea what we're looking at here. What's our synopsis? What's the
all
deal?
Right? Like in olden times, Count Regula is drawn and quartered for killing 12 virgins in his dungeon torture chamber.
Okay.
35 years later, he comes back to seek revenge on the daughter of his intended 13th victim and the son of his prosecutor in order to attain immortal life.
Wow.
I'm already in.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about any of that except we're in. That's great.
Yeah,
and it's old, and we haven't done an old one in a while. It sounds cheeseball as hell. Great old shitty effects. I'm stoked.
So and the movie poster. Well, we'll talk about it next week, but just remind me, the movie poster. Oh, my God. Please, folks, go to Amazon Prime and watch The Torture Chamber of Dr. Sadism with us.
Yep, it's happening. Oh, yeah, Amazon Prime. I'm glad you mentioned that. That is where we will be watching that one. So that kicks off Sacktober, our yearly all-month Halloween Film Sack event for lo these many... How many years has it been now? Will it be 14 years?
Wow.
Shut up.
Really?
Hold on. 2009.
13?
So
13. This will be our 13th October.
13th, yeah.
Oh, 13th
Oh, my
October.
God, our 13th ooh. October.
Ooh. That's actually cool. Well, anyway, that's weird. I can't believe it's been 13 of these. Anyway, that'll be tomorrow. So, or tomorrow. That'll be next week.
Tomorrow? God.
I haven't watched the movie yet.
So tune in for that. The Torture Chamber of Dr. Sadism, not the torture the chamber of the Doctor of the Sadism. All right. That's it. Filmsack.com is our website. Again, patreon.com/filmsack if you'd like to support us. Filmsack@gmail.com is our email address. While you're at it, follow us on Twitter. There's always fun stuff happening there over at FilmSack. And leave us reviews wherever you get your shows. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
I prefer it my way.
We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I like the hat.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.